This program was first broadcast on Tauroa Radio 1575 and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Good evening, I'm Kelvin Lyon, representing the Christadelphian Bible Truth program. Now, we've been doing some studies on the exploring the Bible, and we've been going through a number of lessons here: the Bible, the inspired word of God. In the beginning, God created. Then the creation of man, the entry of sin into the world, Cain and Abel, which is a lesson of acceptable worship. Between Cain was not accepted, and Abel was, but Cain got jealous, then killed him. The flood of Noah's day, from Noah to Abraham, and tonight we're dealing with the call of Abraham. Abraham being the friend of God. Now, for further information on this, you could log on to www.findthelight.org or repeat on www.taroaradio.co.nz or myself, Kelvin Lyon, Adi Tu Waititi, 9085 New Zealand, 03482269, 0274-332232 on my mobile cell phone. Right. Dealing with Abraham, we really get into the life of Abraham near the end of Genesis chapter 11. Remember, the chapters previously had been dealing with Noah and the flood, and then they came from the ark, and the sons were Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and they spread forth, and then it goes through the genealogy of them. And then chapter 11 of Genesis. Remember, Genesis is talking about the beginning. And this is the beginning of God's plan here with the world and mankind on it and all things. And the people after Noah's time, they congregated together. But he said they must go forth and multiply upon the face of the earth. But they thought they changed their mind. And then we probably know the story of the Tower of Babel. At the end of that chapter, it goes through the genealogy of Shem. Now, remember, Shem is really known for his being the father of the Jewish races. Japheth is the European races, and Ham is the darker races of the earth. And we come down through there now, and then it gets down right down to Terah. Lived 70 years and begat three sons, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Goes through the generations of Terah, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran lived, died after, before his father, Terah, in the land of where they came from, in Ur of the Chaldeans, which is away down by about Babylon was, or Baghdad as we have it today. Abraham and Nahor took their wives. Name of Abraham's wife was Sarah. Name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and his father Iscah. And Terah took Abraham, his son, Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldeans unto the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there, and the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. And we really get into him now. That was his father knowing of Abraham. And the Lord said unto Abraham in chapter 12, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I'll make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And all families of the earth shall be blessed. So what we have here, friends, is the story beginning of some special promises there, how God calls a man because he was chosen of God. He'd come from a land of idolatry, but obviously he was a friend of God. He's called that a few times. He had the wisdom and the mind to search out the ways of God, and God found this man and worked with him, really. He's one of the most important figures of the Bible. The records of his life are covered from that Genesis 11 where I started reading from him being the son of Terah, and through about to chapter 25 of Genesis verse 10. The importance of his life emerges as we read through these chapters and note not only the astounding faith of this remarkable man, but also the promises that God made to him. These promises are made not to him only, but they flow through him to all who understand and believe them. Because, remember the New Testament, Jesus told the apostles to go out and preach the gospel to everyone that believeth. There is a thing I know that abhors some people today with bigotry, and they think of and things like that. But the calling of Jesus Christ is on a belief and an understanding that he is the Son of God. He died to open that way where we can come unto God through him. But he's been promised way back in the scriptures, way back in. So it is not wrong that we should say that we must understand and believe certain things, because we're told that if you're Abraham's seed, your ears according to the promise with Christ. So we see these promises were made not to him only, but flow through all them that understand him. And because of Abraham's faith, we find that he's given the title of a friend of God in James, in the New Testament, that is, chapter 2, verse 23. Now, James is a half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. So apart from the details that are given of his life and other references to him in the Old Testament, there are over 70 occasions where he is mentioned in the New Testament. In fact, the teaching of the gospel of the New Testament is, well, you can't really understand it, really, without an understanding of the promises that God made to Abraham. The gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ taught is bound up with God's promise to Abraham. Galatians is a wonderful book of Paul wrote to these people, clarifying things that he'd heard that from this small group of believers. And that's why he wrote so surely and carefully. He says there, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that's Gentiles, heathen us, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And that's in Galatians 2, 3, verse 8. Now, the call of Abraham, we first notice that Abraham's original name was Abram, A-B-R-A-M, in Genesis 11. His name was changed by God for a specific reason, as we shall see when we follow through into Genesis 17:5. He lived in Ur, an important city in Chaldea on the Euphrates River, down the bottom, fairly way down. Archaeologists who have researched the area tell us that Ur was a well-established city in its day, providing all that was considered modern and necessary for very comfortable living. And in verse 30, though, however, but Sarah was barren, she had no child. Abraham had married Sarah, who was his half-sister, in Genesis 20, verse 12. The fact that she was unable to bear children is impressed upon our minds early in the account of their lives. This becomes a very important point in God's dealing with them. We'll find that Sarah, or Sarai, was her name changed to Sarah, at the same time as Abraham's name is changed to Abraham. Genesis 17, verse 15. When we come to verse 31, they went forth from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. The reason for their journey was because God had spoken to Abraham, instructing him to leave. And in Acts chapter 7, Stephen, one of the disciples in Jerusalem, he gives his defense and tells us a lot about that in Acts the Apostles chapter 7, verse 2 to 4. But while they were dwelling in Haran, before they came to Canaan, Abraham's father Terah died. God's promise of blessing to Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. In Ur, Terah had served other gods, and God had called Abraham from this environment of idolatry that was in his household. Joshua Take note of these as you go. You can check them out. We haven't got time to go to all of them all just now. Joshua 24, verse 2 and 3. And it is necessary that any who choose to follow God in Christ must separate themselves, well, from all things that can hinder their total service to Christ. When he calls us out, calls us over from a life of serving ourselves to serving Christ. And therefore, we do get restrictions on. We do get restrictions what we should watch on television, what we should read, what we should attend to. But we should never restrict ourselves from showing others the Word of God. So they had to separate themselves from all that can hinder their total service. Matthew 19 and 27 to 30, you'll notice that, and in 2 Corinthians 6. In faith, Abraham set out in obedience to God's command. He set out to God's command, and that is a reason why I think it was a long time before they had a child, Sarah had a child. They'd been promised one, but that is a real test of faith, when something's promised and it takes a long time to come. You know, they'd be doubting even sometimes that it was going to come, but then they'd strengthen themselves in prayer to one another and remember those promises that have been made and think, well, God's true. God is wonderful. And then he says in verse 2, I'll make of thee a great nation. Here God speaks of the development of the nation of Israel, which come from Abraham. See, so it's coming from him. It's got to. He's got to have faith and believe at this stage. You know how we have believe and faith. And we can get tired too. We can get tired, and then we can get doubt. Jesus tasks us to pray and ask to help our unbelief, to help us to recognize and get in a perspective what is true and what is the false and what is the real big picture in life. Because finally, we'll all meet our death. But if we've been serving Christ, it will not be the end. There will be a place in a glorious kingdom on this earth when Jesus comes back to raise those faithful ones. I'll make of thee a great nation. Here Abraham in verse 2 speaks the development of the nation. Later it did become a great nation in the days of David and Solomon. But because of disobedience, the scriptures show us that the kingdom was destroyed, the Jews finally scattered by the Romans in AD 70. After centuries of dispersion, they began to return to their homeland. After many punishments of the First World War, which brought about the freedom of that land of Palestine for people to return, but it wasn't really quite free. It was under British control, but it had been retrieved from the Ottoman Empire. And then, after the terrible atrocities of the Holocaust and the Second World War, the Jews finally were getting together after that and thought, well, we must have a homeland of our own. And in 1948, Israel was again declared a nation. Since then, the Jews have continued to return to their land from many countries. It's interesting to note that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about his second coming. After the fig tree shoots forth and grows, Israel is termed in places as that fig tree. Israel will be fully regathered after the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. For in Ezekiel 37, it tells us that. They will be educated in the truth of the promises made to Abraham and see their fulfillment in the land in the Lord Jesus Christ. They will then be restored to inherit the land promised to Abraham and live under the rulership of Christ as well as other nations. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Jewish Messiah. They crucified him at the first while they called for his crucifixion. But the scriptures keep telling us of that day when the Lord Jesus Christ will be king over all the earth when he comes back. And he says, I'll bless thee and make thy name great. Although God did bless Abraham in temporal matters during his life, this promise has yet to be completely fulfilled at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I could read a little bit there in Matthew 8, verse 11, where it says there, Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." And then he said, "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac," that's his son, "and Jacob, his son, in the kingdom of heaven." So how do they come and sit down in the kingdom of heaven? "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So Jesus said unto the centurion that he bestowed them how great faith he has, "Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. The kingdom of heaven, friends, is not a place in heaven. Remember how Jesus taught, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The kingdom of God is an earthly kingdom ruled from heaven, or ruled by the power of God through the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns. In verse 3 of chapter 12, "I will bless thee that bless thee, and curse thee that curseth thee." History has shown this to be so true, both in the life of Abraham himself and with the people of Israel, his descendants. Babylon and Edom are two ancient nations that were punished by God because they afflicted the Jews. In our day, Hitler tried to destroy Israel, and because of this, Germany was crushed by God. In contrast to this, Britain found that her fortunes increased while she protected Israel. She did protect Israel, and she allowed them back into their homeland, but Jews have been even resentful about Britain because she held things up and made things difficult at times and wouldn't let too many in there. It was a problem at the time. "And these shall all families of the earth be blessed." This is the most important point of the promises. "Through Abraham, all families of the earth will be blessed by God." Thus the blessing is offered to both Jew and Gentile. But how can this be? Paul states that this is the essence of the gospel. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, "In thee shall all nations be blessed." Further, Galatians 3, verse 8. As we follow through God's dealings with Abraham, we will see what this blessing is and how God hath made it available to all mankind through faith in Jesus Christ. So Abraham journeyed to Canaan in obedience to God. He left Haran and commenced his journey to seek the land that God had promised him. With him went Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, together with their servants and their substance. Abraham was 75 years old, and he commenced this journey. We can follow the journey of Abraham by reading chapter 12. He arrived at Shechem in the land of Canaan, today Israel. "Then God spake to him, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land." Abraham was now aware that the land that he had been promised was the land of Israel, as we now know it. However, we note that here, God promised the land to his seed. We recall that Sarai was barren. So this would present a question in the mind of Abraham, for he had no seed. He had no offspring. In response, Abraham built an altar and worshipped. From Shechem, Abraham journeyed south to Bethel, and then, because of famine, journeyed further south into Egypt. He returned from Egypt into the land that had been promised and dwelt between Bethel and Ai, or Ai. Genesis 13. In chapter 13, Abraham and Lot separate as God promised. So he blessed Abraham. He was now very rich and had an abundance of cattle and goods. Lot had likewise been blessed while he was with Abraham. You read this in Genesis 13. However, strife rose between the herdmen of Abraham and Lot, which was resolved by Abraham, suggesting that they separate company. Abraham gave the choice of land to Lot, who elected to take his belongings to the plain of the Jordan River, near the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. We are told that the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. We will see as we progress through the life of Abraham that disastrous effects this move to Sodom had upon the family of Lot. After Lot had left Abraham. God spake again to him. This time we have one of the most important promises in the Bible. Abraham was told to look from the heights of the hill country near Bethel to the north, south, east, and west. He would have taken in quite a panorama of the land from that position. God then spoke to him, "For all the land which thou seest," and this is in verse 15 of Genesis 13, all the land which thou seest, although what he could see would have been extensive, the promise was not limited to only the land that he could see from that vantage point. Paul later comments that, in fact, he was promised the world. "To thee will I give it," Abraham was to inherit to himself, "and to thy seed." The land was not to be given to Abraham alone, but to his seed also. Again, we realize that this was impossible, humanly speaking, as Sarai was barren. Paul explains that the word seed in the Hebrew here refers to only one person, Genesis 3:16, forever. So here is the key to the understanding of this promise. How could a mortal man inherit a land forever? The only possibility is that he be raised from the dead and given immortality. The meaning of this wonderful promise revealed in the New Testament. Rather than speculate on the meaning of this promise, we shall consider the way that it is explained by Jesus Christ and the New Testament writers. Paul devotes a whole chapter in his letter to the Galatians to explain the importance of this promise. Here Paul, in Galatians 3, directs the mind of his readers to the promise in Genesis 13:15. "And now to Abraham and his seed where the promise is made." He then makes this point. "He saith not into seeds as of many," that is, he did not say that he had promised it to many seeds of Abraham in the plural, but as of one. Thus Paul shows by reading the Hebrew carefully that God had said that he has promised the land to Abraham and to a singular seed of his. He now explains who that one seed is, "and to thy seed, which is Christ," which is the Lord Jesus Christ. We now understand that God promised the land to Abraham and Christ forever. How can it be promised for Abraham to inherit it? It must mean that Abraham will be raised from the dead and given immortality. And this is exactly the hope that Paul interprets the promises. "I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?" You look at Acts 26:6-8. And also at Luke 13:28-29. Paul further expounds the promise in Galatians chapter 3:26-29. Paul now shows how we can share in the hope of the promise that God made to Abraham. We become the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, verse 26. Our faith motivates us. Faith is important. It really is an outward showing of the character. It motivates us to obey God's commandments, and the first step is identifying with Christ as baptism. Then on, he tells us, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, Jesus said. Verse 27, by baptism one loses his old identity and puts on Christ. You can read that in the book of Romans in many places. It's the old identity of part of Adam. And then we change from Adam, we put on Christ. Verse 28, Paul shows that all, no matter what race, rank, or gender, through baptism put on Christ. Thus a whole multitude collectively become one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ's, thus through baptism into Christ, ye become Christ's. Then are ye Abraham's seed, that is, the seed of Genesis 13, verse 15. See, you're Abraham's seed, if we are Christ's, who with Abraham were promised immortality so that they could inherit the earth forever. And heirs according to the promise. Heirs, H-E-I-R-S. Now we see how this great promise can include us. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we become heirs of the promise to inherit eternal life on earth with Abraham and Jesus Christ. Now there's further references to this promise, if you've got that pen handy. Christ spoke of Abraham being in the kingdom of God on earth when he returns to set it up. Luke 13, 28-29. Christ shows that the expression of the God of Abraham is proof of the resurrection. Luke 20, 37 and 38. And Stephen, in his defense in Acts 7, as I said before, states that Abraham has not yet received the promise in promised inheritance of the land. Thus, if he can say that, the fulfillment must be in the future. Must be in the future. So just a couple of wee notes on summary here. We haven't a lot of time. But Abraham is an important character. He's called a friend of God. We are introduced to Abraham when he's called by God to leave his home, city, and Ur and go to the land that God would show him. In this remarkable call, God said to him, "In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." See, all families. This is the basis of the gospel. God later promised Abraham, "All the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." Genesis 3. Thus God promised Abraham and his seed eternal life on the earth. Luke 13:28-39. The seed promised to Abraham is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's singular in Jesus Christ, but then we've been promised, "For if ye are Christ, ye are Abraham's, and he is according to the promise." And that's many seeds. But baptism into Jesus Christ, we too can become heirs of the promise of eternal life with Christ and Abraham. If you look at Romans chapter 8, it's a whole chapter dealing with the changing over from Adam to Christ and the point and reasoning of baptism. The washing away of the sins of our flesh, and as we rise in the newness and likeness of Jesus Christ. We may still sin, unfortunately, from then on, but we have an advocate. We're called. John tells us that in his epistle. We have an advocate. We have someone we can lean on to forgive us of our trespasses and involuntary sins that we tend to do from time to time. But if we're in Christ, we can be forgiven, and we can endeavor to work on our weaknesses, perhaps, on our troubles or our trials that struggle with our faith, because as we go through different stages of doubt to doubt, and then we overcome that doubt and we feel strengthened, we read more scripture, and we're heartened and solid in the word, knowing it all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for correction in righteousness, that the man of God will be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Paul tells Timothy that in 2 Timothy chapter 3. See, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So when we feel a bit faithless or something and we can't think of something to support or to strengthen us, we can pray and calm down and then open up the scriptures. Look at a name, look at an Abraham, look at any name and follow it through and you'll see the truth therein. This world has nothing else, nothing to offer. Friends, I've had a lot to do with the world up to a certain stage in my life. Absolutely nothing. Sorrow and heartache and no future. A future of, I suppose, a bit of joy and glory in some of the little trivial pursuits we may endeavor to use or play with, and art and all these things in this world, but we still don't get away from that big picture. We've got to follow that big picture to be in Christ, to show others the way of Christ, show what he's done for us, how he can forgive us our sins, how he can guide us, and how we do have a future. This earth does have a future. And the Old Testament and the New Testament support that. The kingdom of God is coming with the Lord Jesus Christ as King to sweep away all the suffering, the sin, the weapons of war. Read the beginning of Isaiah chapter 2. Beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. and there'll be a house established in the top of the mountains, and people will come and flow unto it to hear the word of God, for the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Wonderful time coming, folks. So any questions, do get on the phone, email, whatever, and catch us down. Thanks very much for listening tonight. Good night.
This program was first broadcast on Tauroa Radio 1575 and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.